Okay, before we look at a passage this morning, we have some news to share with everyone today. We've been thinking in the Titus over the last few weeks about ministry and serving and leading and the example and the necessary to do that. And I guess ministry can be exhausting, but it's also the best job in the world. I've worked in the secular world for a few years, and I've also spent many years in church ministry. And I know that ministry is hard, and it's incredible. The working hours of ministry can be very hard to define. You can often spend days and nights trying to be a blessing to the church, often when nobody notices. You don't serve for the recognition of others, but it can be hard when perhaps sometimes that can even be not acknowledged, and that can be rare to come by. The reward in church ministry can be invariably slow. There is an emotional toll of taking people that you love to the water, only for them often not to drink. It can be exhausting. And so after many years, Gilles has decided, after years in paid ministry here and in places before joining us here, and perhaps a couple of weeks before a milestone birthday, he's escaping for birthday greetings on that day. He's going to step aside and do something else in this next part of his life. Gilles is a friend. He's a gentleman and a gentleman. He's both a servant with very broad shoulders, not just in his physical size. He's quietly got on with many jobs in the life of the church that most of you will know absolutely nothing about. As well as the more public roles in youth work and at Woodrush and at the food bank, I saw the head at Woodrush, so I won't tell you his name, this week. He had nothing but praise for the impact that Gilles has made in the lives of a great many students these last few years. So Gilles will leave his role with the church at the end of August. He and the family will thankfully be remaining a part of the church. Gilles, though, is going to take a sabbatical time away from the church in September through to the end of the year. He needs that time to adjust from this being both his job and his church to a time where this and we are just his church. His time away will also perhaps make it easier for us to adjust and to plan for his future. This may pose many questions and comments that you want to make, and I know that Dave and Andy and I want to hear all those questions and comments, but perhaps at least for now, don't expect an answer because we don't have the answers just yet. But pray for us as we make plans for the future and what comes next. Pray too for Gilles and Andrea as they kind of set about on a new plan, a new chapter, a new time of their lives. Pray for them that the Lord would be with them. They would know his hand and his presence on their lives. There are many things that are going to have to be worked through over the next few weeks, many decisions that are going to have to be made. So please, we pray for us as we continue to do that. We hope to be able to continue building upon the foundations that Gilles has laid in so many areas of the church. But what has been news to us over the last couple of weeks, it's going to take us a little while to work out what that looked like. So today we want to make the first of many thank yous to Gilles over the next few weeks. We will say goodbye, perhaps in an appropriate way, towards the end of the summer. But thank you, Gilles. And we will pray for you both. Let's pray for them now. Lord, I thank you for Gilles. I thank you for everything that he has brought here in the life of the church over these last few years. But Lord, I pray for him. Having made a decision to step aside and to do something else, Lord, I thank you that he steps out into something new, not stepping away from you, but just stepping to a different journey with you. And so, Lord, we thank you for his contribution in the church over these years. We thank you for contribution that he will yet still make, not just up until the end of August, but perhaps when he returns next year and just becomes a member of the church, Lord. So I pray and for him in that. I thank you for him. Lord, I pray for them as a family over the next few weeks and months as that adjustment time comes. Lord, I pray that they know your hand upon them, Lord. I pray as he looks to set up something new. For him, Lord, I pray that he will know your blessing and your favor upon them. Lord, I pray for us as a church as we think about kind of how we manage a transition time, how we manage what the future looks like. Lord, I pray that you will be making our plans straight, Lord. I pray that we'd be sensitive to your voice, just to know kind of what to do and how that is meant to work out in the life of the church. But today, I thank you for Zilla. I pray that you go with him and he knows your blessing and our love with him as he goes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Starting next week, we've got a bunch of people who are going to share with us all. They're going to share a passage of the Bible, something that has meant something to them, something that has excited them or encouraged them or helped them in their walk with the Lord. They're going to share that. So each Sunday we'll have two people doing that, and I'm really looking forward to that. But today I want to share a passage that has meant perhaps quite a lot to me. It's a well-known story, one of the most favourite and most exciting stories in the Bible. I shared this on Monday at Hollywood Primary, and it was great as they engaged with the story, as the kind of head teacher talked about it, continues to talk to the children about what this might mean for them in school. So it's a story you've heard me share before, but perhaps got a particular meaning for us right now in the life of the church. Luke chapter 5. Verses 1 to 11, and it says this. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to pull out a little from the shore. And then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night. We haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. And so they signaled their partners in another boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all of his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were Simon's partners. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Okay, they've been fishing all night. I've never been fishing in my life. It seems the most boring thing on earth to me. But if you like fishing, I'm glad that you enjoy it. Brian, who sometimes is here, he likes going fishing, and he could perhaps tell you that the best time to go fishing is to go fishing at night. When it's quiet and dark and peaceful, that's when apparently all the fish come out. I mean, who knew? But that's what they told me. They'd been out all night and they hadn't caught anything. And so they were now tired and they were hungry. Maybe at this point, even beginning to wonder what their role in life might be. They'd been told that they weren't good enough at school. So they'd left school when they were young teenagers. They were told to go and pursue the family business, to go and find something that they were good at, because they were never going to be able to copy a rabbi. And so they went fishing. They thought that this was what they were good at, they were used to it, and they'd gone fishing many, many nights to the same spot and caught lots of fish, except this night when they caught nothing. And so maybe they're not just tired and hungry, but they're wondering what life may have in store for them. They wanted a lot. Maybe they had big dreams and big aspirations. Even as teenagers, they got their own boats. They built something, but it was beginning to perhaps to drift away. They'd been rejected from school, not good enough, can't follow a rabbi, and so here they were learning a trade. But now this night, they couldn't catch any fish. But verse 5 tells us something that's really important. They were obedient. They were obedient to Jesus. He could, as it were, say that they'd done their bit for Jesus. He'd stood in their boat. He'd used their boat as a platform in order to teach and to share the good news with the crowds that were there. Maybe they'd say they'd done their bit. They were washing their nets, but he was in their boat. It wasn't costing them very much beyond the mild inconvenience whilst they washed their nets. Maybe they're washing their nets thinking, "I hope he wraps up soon. I've got places to be. I need to get my boat in onto the shore." But instead of setting them free and going, "Look, fellas, I'm done now, you can have your boat back," he now asks them for more. He asks them for more effort, for more time. He asks them for more of their energy. Jesus is here in the morning asking a group of tired, hungry, and fed up young men to do something that instinctively they are not going to want to do. He wants them to go back out and fish again. It's the wrong time of day, and they were tired, they were hungry, they were fed up, they were questioning whether it was something they were any good at all. And he's going, look, let's go back out. Let's take our boat back out. Let's go fishing again. And maybe they're thinking, even just in their heads, are you mad? Have you lost the plot? Are you doolally? Are you tapped in the head? We were out all night and caught nothing, and yet you want us to go out in the daytime? It's the wrong time of day. I'm fed up. I just want to go home. I just want to go to my bed and sleep while I'm hungry. But they listened to Jesus. They did the opposite of what was most instinctive to them. They obeyed Jesus. They did what made absolutely no sense to them, but they did it for obedience. They did it not because they saw an opportunity. They did it because Jesus asked them to do it. They were obedient. And they went back out. They went back out to the spot they had been in all night, where it had been fruitless and pointless, where they had caught no fish. They went back out. They put their nets on the other side as instructed to do. And their reward for their obedience was a catch of fish that was so big that they needed more help. It was so big that they needed more people and they needed more boats. Now, we don't know how this miracle happened. Did Jesus hold all of the fish in some kind of supernatural force field? It was like, you are not swimming over there. You are staying exactly where you are. Did he suddenly kind of sweep them all in from somewhere? Did he kind of like Superman, kind of suck them all together, that they were just now all in one place? We have no idea. We have no idea how this miracle happened. But I 100% believe that it did. I 100% have no doubt at all that this miracle happened, that they'd put their nets on one side of the boat in the night and caught nothing, only for them to somehow be all there a few hours later when the sun came up. They had caught nothing at the night, but yet in their obedience, their nets began to break. When they were obedient, their nets broke. When they're obedient, they didn't have enough. Such was the blessing of the Lord Jesus upon them that morning. Not only was this catch amazing, but they were going to need new nets. They were there in the morning time washing their nets, but they were now going to need new ones because their nets were breaking. Such was the weight of the fish. They needed new and bigger perspective of what was possible in the will and the blessing of God. I think we need to widen our gaze. We need to see what really is possible in the will and the blessing of God, which is more than we can hope or imagine, which is more. God has more for us. If you want to have more of God, if you want to have a bigger view of God, if you want to widen your perspective of what is possible in the kingdom of God, if you want to see more of what you can be a part of as a child of God, if you want to be surprised by the extent of the lavish blessing of God, if you want that heart-stopping moment where you know without a doubt that what has just happened was a miracle. We don't know how that miracle happened, but those disciples saw such a large catch of fish in their net that morning. It just should not have happened. It could not have happened beyond it being a miracle of the Almighty. If you want a moment like that, then we've got to find obedience to Jesus, haven't we? We've got to renew our obedience to the Lord. We've got to rediscover obedience to him. For without their obedience, that miracle, and note this, that miracle would never have been seen. The miracle was provided, for the fish weren't there, but they were there. The miracle was there, but without their obedience, they would never have seen it. The fish would have been there in the water, but with just no net to gather them up. The miracle was set, but the lack of obedience would have left it unseen. Their obedience enabled the miracle to be seen. We need to rediscover obedience to the Lord, don't we? We've got to have that beating in our heart. What makes no sense to me is what you have asked me to do. It makes no sense to me, but because you've asked me, I'll say yes. because you've asked me, I will do it. We've got to see something here, haven't we? Because I know what I've just shared. There's a tension here. We're poised in the middle of this. Gilles is stepping away, needing to do something else. And yet the instruction and the encouragement is perhaps, is like, Steve, you're asking me to just do more. But this is the thing. This is the thing. We need to see the call of God for what it is and not for what it isn't. The call of God is not to exhaustion, but the courage to trust. God is going, look, do you trust me? Do you trust me? He's saying to Simon Peter that morning, do you trust me? I know you've caught nothing, but do you trust me? Take out your boat again, because I've got a miracle for you to see. The call is not for exhaustion. The call is to obedience. The call is to step out and do something different. Gilles is in one sense doing that, isn't he? Gilles, come do something different. Come do something different in the kingdom of God. Trust me for what feels so uncertain. I know what he's going to do. Go and ask him later. There's uncertainty. But Lord's going, do you trust me in the uncertainty? Do you have courage to say yes, to step into what it is I am asking you to do, even if it makes no sense to you? Gilles and Andrea are taking a step of faith, a decision to trust God in something that is different. They're not going to go and get a fishing boat and go out in Earlswood Lakes. All the best with that one. But it's an invitation, a call to do something else whilst remaining firmly in the pursuit of Jesus. The encouragement of Jesus to these young fishermen, these disciples in the making, was to trust him. Trust him enough to do something different just because Jesus told them to. I don't know for you, all of you individually, what it is that the Lord has called you to do. Maybe I feel for some what I believe that the Lord has called you to. Maybe for you, I have no idea, but you will know what it is the Lord has called you to. And if you don't, go and ask somebody, what do you think God has for me to do? What gifts has God given me? What time has God given me? What talents and opportunity has the Lord put before me? Maybe I'm struggling to see it, so can you help me? And we can pray with that and talk you through with that and try and see if we can find what it is that God has called you to, because God has called us all to something. This is individual, it's collective for all of us. Do what it is that the Lord has told you to do just because he's told you to do it. Blessing follows that obedience. That those disciples with that fishing net, everything inside them would have been screaming, don't do this, it makes no sense. But yet they did it, and the blessing followed. The blessing follows obedience. Exhaustion follows when some disobey and others have to compensate. I talked more about this a few weeks ago, but exhaustion comes when one part of the body, when one part of the church has to do more because they're overcompensating for someone else not saying yes to what it is that the Lord had called them to. That's where exhaustion comes. Blessing comes when everyone says yes to what it is that the Lord has called them to. Now, we've got to see here as well that we're all called to do different things and at different times, because Jesus says to Simon, push out into deep water. But he went. The others stayed on the shore because he hadn't called them to go. He hadn't told them to go. But he took his boat out. But then at the necessary time, more people responded to the call to go and help. They weren't all required to go all out together, all at the same time. Some went out, and then Simon says, look, come and help us. Now's your time to come out and help. There was a new instruction to these young men. The instruction wasn't just to follow, but to then leave behind. Simon Peter, take your boat out. And so he went back out, and then he called others to come and help him. More responded to that call to go and help. And then when they took their boats back to shore, they were given a new instruction. And this new instruction was to leave behind. to leave behind your old life. Leave behind everything that you have known and understood up until this point. Leave behind the life of being a fisherman and go and fish for souls. Leave behind that. Yeah, you were good at it. Yeah, it made sense for a while, but I now want you to leave that behind because I have something else for you. I want you to go and fish for souls. These guys who knew fishing, these guys who had been pushed out of school, not good enough to follow a rabbi, they knew fishing, they had a job, they had something to do, they were good at it, but yet now they're told to leave it behind, for the Lord is telling them that he has more for them. Now, I'm going to stretch this metaphor every which way I can, all right? Gilles is leaving something behind, leaving behind something that he has done and done for years so as to follow Jesus in a different way in this part of his life. We need to see that not all of the fishermen were called to leave their nets. We each have a different path. We've each got different things to do for the kingdom of God. Just whatever you do, don't reject the one that the Lord is calling you to. The Lord might be telling you, just stay doing exactly what you are doing. That is just where I want you to be. It might be that the Lord says to you, no, I want you to go and leave that behind. I want you to go and lay that down. I want you to go and do this. And I know it doesn't make sense, but do it in obedience. It might be that the Lord wants you to use some of your time differently. And it might be that you're not going out straight away, but you're going to, when the call for help comes, then I want you to go and I want you to go and help. And then maybe when you've been and helped, I want you to take your boat back and I want you to carry on fishing because there'll be some time again where I need to go and help again. You see, the Lord has got a different call for each of us that we're called to do different things, to step up at different times and in different ways and in different things. But whatever you do, don't say no to what it is the Lord is calling you to. Say yes to the call of the Lord Jesus. Even if that means doing something that at first seems really strange. Even if it means being the first one to push out into deep water or the one that is called to go and help out further down the line. For these fishermen to go out fishing in the day rather than the night, to put their nets simply on the other side of the boat, made about as much sense as using a teapot made of chocolate. But yet it was what they did. It was what they did. It might be for you that right now, and maybe you've heard what we've been preaching about the last few weeks and giving time and stretching yourself in service for the Lord in the church. And maybe the thought of you to give more time to the church now, right now seems like the same sort of madness. But they did it. They did it. They answered the call, and for their obedience, they saw a blessing of which they're like they had never seen before. Jesus laid on a glorious miracle, the largest catch of fish that they had ever seen in their lives. The blessing followed the obedience, but an obedience that in the end, that everyone needed to come help. Come and help. Trusting the Lord requires us to do something where we actually have to trust. It's we all say, trust the Lord in that. It's easy when you're the one that can say that and not the when you're the one when you've got to do it, isn't it? Sometimes we all go through difficult times. It might be about employment or health or something in the family or whatever it is. And someone goes, trust the Lord. And you're, I know. It's always way easier to say than it is to actually do, isn't it? Always. Trust the Lord. Take your boat out. Again? Put your net on the other side, really? And they're met with great, incredible blessing. Trusting the Lord requires us to do things that make no sense, that seem utterly implausible without the intervention of the Lord. That might be about sacrifice of time or money or talent. But just give it. Make way for more. Wait, make way to see the miracle. God has miracles for us, doesn't he? We believe that. We have to believe that. If we don't believe that, when we kind of, what are we doing? The Lord has more. But if you want to see the more, we've got to be obedient to put ourselves in the place of being able to see the more. if you stay comfortable, not trusting God to do anything in your life beyond what you are comfortable with, then you're very unlikely to see a miracle. And you're going to go, wow, I've been praying for more, but I just nothing. And God's going, yeah, but you know what I've asked you to do? I've asked you to step out in obedience. Do the thing that I've called you to, even if it makes no sense. Trusting in the Lord necessitates a response. It necessitates a response. We planned to do 3 weeks in Titus before we knew about Gilles' decision, but it feels, in one sense, even more important, doesn't it? The idea of us all collectively together being an example to one another. That sense of stepping up, taking responsibility for how we make disciples, both of the people that we have and those that we don't yet know. It requires more, doesn't it? Some stepped out in obedience to Jesus and they saw an incredible miracle, but they couldn't bring that miracle in on their own. They couldn't bring that catch of fish in on their own. The blessing was too big and too much for some to have on their own, and it was designed to be shared with others. God has blessing and wonder and the miraculous for us that is going to require all of us to do different things, to put in the end, ultimately be a part of it. God has a harvest for us. He wants us to see all that he has for us. So with this, I finish. They shouted from the boats, come help us. And they came out in their boats and they helped. So come help us. There's a lot of lost souls to be fished for, isn't there? It's great to gather like this. But there's many more people sat in their houses oblivious to the fact that we are here, even with the doors open and the speakers on. Come help us. There's a harvest to bring in. There's people that belong to the kingdom of God, but they don't yet know it. Come help us. We've seen children come up this morning and be given books and prizes and things. We've got a Monday club where we've had to finish early this summer because we haven't got enough leaders to sustain it to the very end of the summer. Come help us. There's children to be told the truth in word and deed and example. Come help us. Come help us. There are young people in need of leaders and mentors, young people in need of a godly example, young people in our community simply in need of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Come help us. Come help us. God has laid on a miracle for us. It's there. It's there for us. Whether or not we see it or not, I believe depends massively on whether we're prepared to be obedient to the call that God has put upon our lives, individually and collectively as a local church. Come help us. Come help us. God has a purpose for us, which I believe will blow our socks off if we're ready to go, yeah, I know I'm tired and I'm hungry and I'm a little bit fed up and I'm wondering what my place is in the world. Jesus says, look, just push your note boat out. Let me show you what your place is in this world. Let me show you all that I have for you. Wow. Wow. Could you have imagined being in that boat that morning, seeing all those fish? Could you have imagined rowing up, perhaps faster than they'd ever rowed, coming to the boats? Wow. Everyone piling in together, grabbing a bit of the net together, pulling it in. Their sense of togetherness, their sense of awe and wonder. Just who was that man standing on the side of the shore? He gets my all. He gets my everything. I'm going to be obedient to him. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for what you did all those years ago in that water. How you changed the lives of a bunch of teenagers. You excited them. You called them to more and to greater. Lord, I thank you for the miracle that you laid on for them, that miraculous catch of fish. It wasn't just that there was more fish than they had ever seen. It was the wrong time of day and it was in stark contrast to their night before. Lord, I thank you that you call us to better and to different. You have laid on a miracle for us, which is going to take all of us to see and be excited by. And so, Lord, I thank you that you have plans and purposes for each of us individually. and they're unique and they're distinctive, and it's different to the person sat next to us. But ultimately, together at some time and in some way, it requires all of us. And Lord, I thank you that's not a burden, but an opportunity. Because I imagine those young disciples didn't feel all that tired anymore when they saw their boats full of the miraculous catch of fish. Lord, I thank you that there is blessing after obedience. And so, Lord, I thank you that over these last few weeks, you've been calling us again and again and again and again to obedience, to call us to fall closer in line with you, to follow a little bit closer. Lord, I thank you that we see in your word, and so we can claim it and say that it's what it's we believe you have for us, that when we are obedient, blessing follows. Lord, I thank you for your grace to us. I thank you for your provision for us. I thank you for your wonder. I thank you that you have a harvest for us to bring in. I thank you that you have plans and purposes for us. Lord, I pray that we will be obedient to you, even when it makes absolutely zero sense to our minds. Lord, and in our obedience, we would see children and young people, and our neighbours, our community, our work colleagues, the poor and the struggling who we're helping with our food bank. Lord, I pray that we would see the kingdom expand and expand and expand here in Hollywood and Withal. Lord, I thank you that some 10 years ago, we were making plans to have our Sunday service in a school hall rather than in Sims Lane because you were bringing in our greater harvest. Lord, I pray that you would give us new and bigger problems as we see more and more and more people come in to the kingdom of God and want to be a part of the family of yours that gathers here. Lord, I pray that for whatever part of it is that you are calling us to, we'll say yes. Whether you're calling us to step up and be a Sunday school teacher or a creche leader or get involved in the Bible class or mentoring and discipling young people, Lord, I pray that for whatever it is that you put before us, we'll say yes. Lord, I pray if you're calling us to step up into responsibility, into leadership, into eldership, whatever it is, Lord, I pray that whatever call you put upon our life, whether it makes absolutely no sense to us whatsoever, we'll say yes. And in our obedience, we'll see a blessing that can only have come from you, our wonderful God. Father, I thank you that you have laid on a miracle for us. Lord, I pray that as we step into that, we will see it. And it wouldn't go unseen, but that we would see and discover the more and the all that you have for us. Lord, again, I pray for Gillette and Andrea as they step out, as they hear your voice calling them to leave behind what they have done and to step into something new, that they would see your blessing and your provision for them as they do that. Lord, I pray for us as a church, as we say yes to you in small ways, in big ways, that we would see the blessing that you've laid on for all of us, that we would see a community increasingly come to know you as their Lord and Saviour. And that we would have that wow moment as we look back and see what you have done. For you are good and you are gracious and you're a miracle working God. Help us, we pray. Amen. Amen.